Okay, would you call the roll?
Keo.
Here.
Conley.
Here.
Curry.
Here.
Arteaga.
Here.
Bingham.
Here.
Tackable, five over.
Here.
Thank you. We'll probably get into the review of the committee of the whole meeting minutes. I would ask that we keep in mind that we are going to be in executive session later this evening again, having to do with personnel issues, and that will be after we cover all the business on the agenda. And there will be no business after that. Had a chance to review the minutes of the committee of the whole meeting from August the 8th. Any questions? Let's ask them. Motion to approve.
Any motion to approve? Second.
All favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed.
Women and citizens comments on the agenda this evening. See, we have citizens in the room that have recently been chosen to trade seats with some of us after the first of the year, and congratulations are in order. Look forward to helping out. Yes, Martin, you want to step up from here?
Sir. Okay. So we have what I call three budgetary items that will help me finish drafting the 2024 appropriations. Council-elect members, you all received this packet, so I do believe you also got the 2023 appropriations this afternoon on your email. So you should have everything moving forward to process. Okay, so the first item is what's called the merit service payment. This is going to be for the whole audience, just so there's no assumption we're all up to speed. Council about 25 years ago, back when White House was a revolving door for employment, we hired people, trained them, and they're right back out the door 6 months later. It was really an issue. And so we did several things to try and bolster, since we couldn't be competitive with normal wages. Again, since 25 years ago, we council decided to try and make a better package on other areas. One of those was our health care at the time. We had very, very good health care. And another one was to come up with it's really called a longevity. It's based upon meeting a threshold of 5 years of continued full-time employment and permanent part-time employment as of December 1. So, and we've stuck with that for the last 25 years. The ordinance that is still governing this says it's between $60 and $80 per year. But it, again, it's up to council's discretion. I'm just giving you again the form and the history. I'd say probably for the last 12 years, council has awarded $75. And by the way, this is approved. This was approved each year in the budget. So this merit service dollar amount has already been approved for the budget, but your council still has to approve the actual distribution of the merit service should you decide to do so. So what you have in front of you is based upon the history of White House, the last 12 years at $75 per year per full-time employee. You might recall, Jordan, you said permanent part-time. That's correct. We no longer have any permanent part-time. I think the last year or two, council has also awarded, I think it's $100 for everybody that's part-time. So that brings you up to speed, everybody, as far as the history. So once again, this has already been approved in the appropriations. What is before you is whether council wants to make a decision on rent service payment.
What's the question?
I have a question for you, Jordan. I think last year we also included, correct me if I'm wrong, people that were under the five, is it 5 years when they start receiving it?
So last year it was $100 category for everybody, not, didn't include years of service, just flat out. If you were a non-full-time employee, you got $100.
And for the employees that were under 5 years, didn't we do the same thing?
That was discussed. I don't think that was decided on.
Okay. I was thinking we might have.
Jill, do you recall? Are you going to correct me on that?
I believe that they did the $100 for a full-time employee that was between 1 year and 5 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what we're thinking.
Well, I know we, yes, we did something.
Here it is.
What was it?
Here it is. November 8th, 2022. I should be closing my note. $75 for your service. We must start earlier than 5 years, give at least $100 to six employees under 5 years service. It was an objection. Department heads wanted them tied to evaluations. And Jordan reminded us that it is tied to evaluation, that this list represents the department heads' approval of them. And then Rich said a minimum of 1 year service. That we have precedent, because I think before we had given some like hazard pay after COVID. And then we looked at, you know, Rich talked about retaining officers. It's at least $50,000 for retraining and rehiring. And we're spending a little bit of money to save a lot of money down the road. Mayor said it was a unique situation, part-time officers. And Bob noted there were so many positive comments on our employees. And we did unanimously vote to approve merit payment as recommended, plus $100 flat for six employees that were under 5 years.
Well,
and then we approved it the next following council meeting.
I'd like to make that a recommendation again, that we, for anybody that's under the 5 years, including the part-time, that throw that up for discussion, that we give them $100 as well during this time of year, during this, for the merit service payment.
Okay, well, are we talking about community engagement? We probably have 85 total employees minus 38, 39 full-time, so maybe probably looking at 45, 48, 45, 48. It doesn't flow. Between 45 and 50 is what I would say. You're looking at
that aren't in this list?
That would be subject to that additional $100.
But last year it was only six people.
Yeah.
We must have.
It was full-time employees between 1 to 5 years.
Yeah. As for retention, not just everybody on our payroll, but those who had, who have recently hired on since.
You're talking about full-timers, correct?
Well, that's what I was asking, because I know you had mentioned something about part-timers too, so that's what, I'm not sure exactly what.
I think it's 2 years ago, we awarded $100, if I'm recalling correctly, to include part-time.
How many full-timers do we have that are not included in this? Even if you don't know right now, you know,
it's between 1 and 5. I think we have around 9 right now.
So that would include like Officer White and, you know, some of our new hires.
Right? Stephen Allen White, Blair White, Martin Schumann, and Todd Gordon, Chris Bowen.
Actually, Alan, some of those were less than a year.
You're talking more like 15. Because this is 20. 1, 2, 3. That are full time, not on this list.
know, I think maybe people run through the situation a little bit this time around, and then the past. Anybody else have any thoughts on that?
What did we do last year for the $100? Did we do anything last year? No, this is 2 years ago, during COVID.
No, last year was $100 for every full-time employee that had been here at least 1 year, up to 5 years.
Jill, how many you think you said there for between one and five?
Nine.
Nine?
Yeah, it is closer to 15 for, if you include under a year.
Again, the point of merit service is to retain them, to keep them, you know.
But part-time people will still benefit the state. They're gonna find something full-time eventually anyways, but not that they don't deserve it. I mean, in place, I've never been, these gives you $75 for turkey and meal and holidays, so it's kind of one of those things where. What was in the budget last year? Was it put $100 as well?
What you have here.
This sheet.
Shown is what was budgeted.
But not the extra, I mean, 15?
So that's outside what the current ordinance reads, so what I keep presenting to you is the recapitulation of the.
Right, the extra $100 wasn't budgeted and neither was the COVID hazard. Maybe, so that was just something we tacked on extra.
I think it's $100 is a small price to pay for 15 employees. Well, if we go, if there's a total of 15 that have been here that aren't on the schedule that are full-time. They should be here this year.
Right, there are two different questions, a lot that I'm hearing. The difference between the nine and the 15. How many full-timers that are not on this list, period, is 15? How many of those that would be subject to last year's action? That's the nine. So you have six people who are basically.
Oh, and you're in.
Do not have a full year.
Action.
Even how. They're applying the 15 either, but for precedent, if it's gonna be something that the council's gonna regularly consider, it should probably be consistent.
I know it's consistent with 1 year, correct?
I think we did last year.
That we should be consistent though.
The same thing we did last year. We're talking $900. Then for nine people.
Mr. Chair, may I add something to consider? I'm hearing precedence and consistency. Maybe we amend the ordinance, so I'm not producing a arcane document and working off of legislation. That would be my request.
I agree. I'd recommend the change that employees with a minimum of 1 year service, less than 5 years of service, would receive $100 merit service payment. And then at the 5 years, it would continue at the $75 per year.
I'll second that as a motion.
That's no minimum legislation, correct?
That would be separate.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
And so then next week, do you want to authorize an amendment to the ordinance legislation so that we had Kevin prepare that for next week?
Hey, thank you, Council. Mr. Chair, you want me to go to the next one?
Yep.
Okay. Okay, so since I started here, I just started tracking this document, section B. This is the Consumer Price Index. It's the U.S. government's Bureau of Labor Statistics that basically measures inflation. We've been tracking this over the years. So there you see those blocks. You see the first number in between that block is what was CPI's impact in the Midwest. Again, this is very, this is not the the nation's inflation. As you just, like today, the news came out, inflation is at 3.2 for the country at large. This is specific to our area of the country. And that's just a history for you to see what the impact has been versus what has been awarded. Again, this is a measurement. These are not necessarily pay raises. I mean, they do increase wages, but it's the time value of money is basically the same as since we started tracking it. So we are grateful for that. We're grateful for council considering that. That's one of the things. So we continue to be grateful for that. Obviously, last year we took a huge hit. Everybody did, not just village employees. Inflation was through the roof. It has slowed down through September. That was the most recent data. And so what you have before you there on the bottom block is that number. Talk with department heads. Sometimes there's a discussion on, do you try to recoup from the previous year? We're just not in that position. We do believe our recommendation, because we're responsible both for the budget and for our employees, we're recommending 2.7 to match inflation's effect on the Midwest.
Jordan, what does that translate to in dollars for a year?
What kind of fuel is that based on?
Mm-hmm. That is approximately between 70 and 80 grand. We have a payroll that ebbs again. It'll be between about 2.8 and 3 million is the gross payroll. I would add, we continue to fight the workforce. So again, our recommendation to you, we wear two hats, as you wear three hats. We wear two hats, both from managing the finances directly and also the hiring and recruiting and all that. So the workforce development, just like almost every other field, is extremely difficult. So as we talked about in our wage study there, more towards the beginning of the year, we are working hard and staying competitive with our wages. So that we're really happy with. As you consider this, we gotta do both. That's why we didn't go too high, we didn't go too low. We decided let's recommend a matching of inflation, no more, no less.
Is it the standard inflation right now over 8% according to what do you go off the data? Which data did you go off? Like, I just read an article from Social Security that said that increase was over 8% for cost of living.
I don't know what they're measuring for the nation for the rolling calendar year. It's okay, 3.2.
Okay.
Maybe for the Midwest, it's 2.7.
Okay, so theirs is probably overall, not just one certain area, I imagine then.
I'm not sure.
Okay. I was just curious.
This surprise. This metric specifically looks at CPI, consumer price index. So it looks at all the general rise cost of all goods within a certain region. So.
I think nationwide, so security stock and three point five respects to it.
Well, doesn't it?
What's that? No, I think that came.
Eight was last year.
Sorry.
Is it?
Yeah, social security's already done there.
Maybe it was 2022 data, I was reading it, because that says 8.2, I don't know. But okay, thank you. So you're looking from us for a motion to.
Discussion.
Discussion or motion for the recommended 2.7 increase for cost of living.
Question.
Quite short from the previous year. We have to maintain the range of people, turnover is most, that's the thing we have. He's telling them, especially police and firefighters, $50,000. But the average cost is, if one leaves, it's going to get 2 years per person.
Yeah, and when you look at this list of the merit service payment of all these people that have been here over 5 years, I mean, you're ranging from obviously 5 years on us. We only have 9 employees that are under 5 years. And all the rest of the employees go up to 33 years of service even. I mean, if you've got, definitely have some longevity and lots of experience here.
Yes, one further point, just so you know, we've had a lot of discussion on the projections of our finances. Those years I've always assumed 3% CPI. Mm-hmm. So this is not on top of that. This is actually below the 3%. So I forgot to say that.
Yeah. You have a question?
People are poaching with people and how you have to maintain their. You're going to lose at it best. You didn't grow and you're dying. And then some employees as well. It's the turnover killer. You got to do something to stop it. You got to do something to stop it. At least let them maintain so they ain't losing. They lost 5% last year. So.
Okay. I move that we recommend the council to approve. We recommend the 2.7%. Hold on.
I'll say.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Thank you. Thank you for taking that recommendation. Okay. Mr. Chair, this is I'll need your input. You have the rate and fee schedule. There's lots of lines to this. We've redlined items that we are recommending. Historically, 90% of our time has been on utilities. And we've usually started with that and then gone to the full scale. So give you that, what would be your pleasure?
Go ahead.
Okay. So I'm going to jump to the kind of supporting information to the audience. The documents all look the same, the analyses. So I think amid some challenging times, we have generally some really good information for you on utilities, especially at least from the perspective of the residents. All right, so the reason I'm standing is kind of to at least orient everybody's eyes to what I'm looking at. So this is, the first one I'm looking at is the water analysis. Okay, and there in the color note there on the top, this only addresses the usage rates, not the capital. So we still don't need to address capital though. Put that in the back of your mind, we will need to address that relatively soon. The capital rates have not changed since its creation
12, 13 years ago, so.
Can you explain that that's a separate charge on?
The capital surcharge, you look at your utility bill, both for water and sewer, they're the capital surcharge. This is completely common in utility systems. You have your operating rate, which is generally just your rate. But that usually doesn't cover all the future capital costs that we need to do, keep the utility system going. So what we've been doing, and we're going to have a public release outreach on this probably this winter yet, is what is that capital charge now being used for now that we've been able to accumulate? Well, one of those things is we don't have to increase our water rates because of the new water tower, which we need. That's because we don't save that money separate. So this rate analysis is only operating, and there's no recommended changes on the capital. But the first column, 2023, there at the top, there's two blocks. The first block, you have the beginning fund balance, 2.460 million. Revenue and expenses are generally the same, and you have an ending balance of 2.374. Again, I don't need to. What I do is I back out what's included in this is in the revenue is capital improvement charges. So I estimate backing that out. So in 2024, so this is the recommended rate. What number in the estimated revenue, what increase do we need to, if at all, pass on to generally keep revenues and expenses the same? And that number ends up being 1%. You'll see a huge amount of expenses. Remember, we have the water tower that's happening. I mean, most of these are passed through grant funds. So the remainder, it comes out of the balance. So we're super happy. There in the bottom, all the bottom is this historical rate increases. You have the history of what we've done since 2014. And even since we've joined TAWA, Legal Area Water Authority, our rates are really low. Back to this top block, there in the, I don't know if you have color print, but the effect on an average household of 5,000 gallons is 43 cents a month. So we're very pleased that it's not more than that. 1% is what we're recommending. Again, this is also for the audience. Council members, you're, I believe, aware of this. In 2007, 2008, both our water and sewer funds were terrible. They were in great jeopardy of becoming, going under financial review by the auditor. We weren't charging enough. We had tiered rates and we're just getting hammered. But 15, 16 years ago, council, to your credit, adopted the philosophy of whatever it costs us is what we charge. So we buy water, in this case, we buy water from Toledo, but then we are a distributor, so we have personnel that are charged to the water. So we do have costs. So even with the TAWA, our rates are so low. Steve is doing an amazing job. So again, that's a little bit of the history. Anything else you want to know?
About the treatment. That, well, I guess that doesn't have to do with the water. That, well, it has to do with the sewer. Well, I don't know if that's linked together or not. For the stuff that Steve was talking about, all the chemicals. And
that's on the sewer side.
That's the sewer
side.
Okay.
We'll get to that.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And this, the scenario, if we do nothing, it's always worse than.
Right. You just see the ending fund balance starts to decrease. And again, we violate the policy or the approach you took 15 years ago, which is whatever it is, it's just easier to be consistent. Whatever it costs us, that's what we pass on. Any questions for me? In the audience?
We need to vote on each part of time.
I can go through all of them and you agree with all the rates and you can go through. If not, we can parse them on. Okay, next one is the sewer analysis. Same approach. 2023 versus 2024, based upon our estimate, based upon this year's revenues, this year's rates. We predicted to be about the same, based upon our, preliminary, estimated, budgets for sewer. You're gonna see that in 2024, $940,000. Again, we don't see a need at this point following that philosophy. There's no real need to pass anything on. And that's not putting us in a hardship. It's simply adopting, following with the whatever it costs us is what we charge.
George, is this the $90,000 we got increased this year in chemicals we had to add for sewers that in this?
Yeah.
So that was included in the.
Yes, because yeah, I was thinking last year's jump.
It's a jump this year.
And it's.
$80,000, right?
$88,000.
So that is in this then?
It is.
Okay, that, I was just curious, Tom. Thank you.
Last year was a harder year, primarily because of the chemicals. So you see there in the history that had to be increased 14%. But nothing this year, at least from our perspective. Any questions? Questions for me? Hold on. Mr. Chairman, you want to move on?
What are we gonna tell them to do? No, we want an increase.
On zero.
Okay. So we are including sanitation analysis. Though it is not recognized by our auditor as a utility fund, it practically speaking is. So I'm converting the analysis to mimic, previous to for your piece. So you'll notice in 2023, the beginning number is negative. We've kept, and I mentioned this to you before, because this is under the general fund, it's kind of absorbed in there. So I'm pulling this out as if it were a utility fund. So we can, track costs, revenue versus cost. And basically, since we went to ARS, we've also, council's also desired to do unlimited pickup and things of that nature, which we pay extra. We, the village, pay extra for, but do not charge residents in their rates. So you're going to have a continuing recognized deficit. Basically, if you look at that deficit, that's what the village has covered for extra sanitation costs and services that are not covered under fees. Make sense? Okay. So again, the philosophy in 2024, how do we keep that operating surplus generally about the same? What does revenue have to be based upon our number of households? And that has to be 5.5%. And there you have the history again. It's lower than it has been each of the last 3 years.
The contract itself builds in some increase, right? Like a 3% for fuel and some other
assumption that their fee is going to go up.
Right. Yeah, and that was 4.5%. We also have other costs that the ARS picks up. The unlimited pickup and the drop off, that is, that's not recognized. We pull that out as far as the analysis of the rates. Again, that's consistent with what council had wanted so far.
So don't you think to support like how we do the water rates and stuff, that it should be sustained by the residents as well, since it's a cost for the residents instead of the general fund?
So when we started this, that was my recommendation.
Right.
We are also taking a bunch of hits, so I know that's a political decision.
Yeah.
If you want to, if you see this as a true utility fund,
I mean, I think we should move towards that. I know when we first did it, there was like a huge debate. But you would think now, especially with the income tax levy not passing, that that maybe this should not come out of the general fund. Or the curbside pickup is quite an expense compared to a drop off. Maybe it should result to doing the drop offs instead of the curbside pickups to alleviate those costs.
I know this is a future discussion, but we're going to have to look at all sorts of revenues at the beginning of the year anyway.
That might be one of them that should be looked at since it's.
It's going to be hard to charge this, then it's one of the things we cut. So then it's, I mean, you're talking 87,000, we decided to cut unlimited pickup. You can't charge people for it if they ain't getting it.
They're not getting charged for it.
But if we start charging them for it and we cut it,
that's
getting greater.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
But what I'm saying is, what she's proposing is that they pick up the cost for the 87,000. What I'm saying is we can't do that if we cut it in January. We can't add it up.
The coming year or just a general 2024? I mean, we're going to be putting the dates for that and everything. So it's going to be in the budget. I mean, something that we probably should really think about it should be sustained by just like the water and everything else fund. And I've said this for a couple of years now, and even with the option where we cut it back from the curbside to a drop off.
Because that's a lot cheaper.
It is substantially cheaper.
How many people's fee are using it? We had the discussion before. How many people actually are using unlimited pickup? Is it worth $87,000? Question.
I would have to get the count from Jill. She's probably more in tune to what that count is. But it is quite a few people in White House.
To be clear, 87,000 is the rolling, the accumulating number. The cost to do the drop off and unlimited pickup is about 40 something.
It's out of the
$740. Yeah, that's $6, I think, is what it was last year.
I would find to agree with Mindy. I think we got to treat this like an enterprise fund. And whatever it costs us. For the trash pickup, I don't think we can afford not to do that with the current state and the money available.
Or we need to look at it something to do drop offs and not curbside pickups all the time, because there's a huge difference between a curbside pickup and where they drop it off.
Or cost, and also though
the drop offs have been very successful to where we changed it
from one time. To review, when we had village trash collection. It was unlimited basically every week.
Mm-hmm.
And our department picked that up and all of those tipping fees and everything. There was analysis of that. And then so when we went to the toters, we built in 4 curbside unlimited pickups to kind of ease people into not being, you know, having to schedule when they were going to be putting their couch out on the curb, those kind of things. And then we looked at the tonnage we were picking up on those unlimited dates. And then we changed. The fourth one, we pushed it into post holidays into January, the 2 weekends, right, of a roll off at the maintenance garage, which were like $600 to $800
coder, but we had our staff checking IDs at the gate, so there was some cost. In addition to what we were paying ARS for that service, we absorbed some of that.
It's substantially.
Yes, very much cheaper, and it was well attended, I thought that it, and then you also picked out some of the things that could be recycled. Not just, so, and a reminder, our ARS contract, because of going through the soil and water district, has to have that recycling. But, so I would suggest at least giving one curbside collection, maybe after the community yard sales. Or sometime where we think people are, dragging the carpets, the furniture, the things that might not fit in the trunk of your car. Or some, you know, the vehicles that you need to be able, or for, you know, residents that that's difficult to actually haul, you know, haul garbage. Mattresses, things like that. You can have ARS come pick up those things anytime you want for an extra fee. You just have to call and arrange and tag it, and you can still get rid of your trash at your convenience. You'll just have to pay for it. But if we want to provide it as a service, you know, because that's the other thing. It's like charging everybody for unlimited pickup when they can pay for their own unlimited pickup at any time they want. You know, are we doing this to make sure that we're keeping our village clean or keeping stuff out of the donation bin, or, you know, like, why are we doing it? Is it worth it to put a little bit towards it, or do we want to make it a true enterprise? I'm not necessarily advocating one way or the other.
I'm just saying a lot of costs can be cut by not doing the curbside. I mean, we've done it for 2 years, the drop off.
I don't think we need four.
January. Yeah, and a lot of money can be cut by doing the drop off versus a curbside. I'm just saying as a recommendation, I mean, we got to look at cutting stuff on the budget. I mean, this would be one thing I think that would be something good to look at. It really needs some consideration of the cost involved with it.
Are people changing the size of their toters much at all anymore?
Fluctuates. People move into town, sometimes they request different sizes, but it's manageable.
So just throw it, would we think about maybe one drop off and one curbside for a year? Because we would have to do that next. Right? Aren't those dates due soon?
Yeah, we got to determine the dates for the 2024 schedule. We're doing it now, don't we?
Yeah. If you have four drop offs like you have now, it's curbside pickup, you would save $30,000 at least.
We have three curbside and one drop off.
Isn't it about
if you just do the drop offs?
The drop off last year, this does not count labor from staff, where they're off between 2,500 and 3,000. Where the curbs drop off. The curbsides are closer to 10,000.
Yeah, it went up. So it's, yeah, yes. The curbside pickup, I do remember being upper over 40 grand. So the total value typically is approximating $50,000-ish with everything together.
You can cut that by, like, more than half.
Because that, it's all curious eyebrows go up and finger and stuff. It's the curbside is they do a full route through the whole village and includes whatever estimated tipping fee they have and things like that. So, and the toters, you can fill them as many times, or not the toters, the roll offs. You
usually get two roll offs per weekend, and fill those.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's in January. Summer you might have a better turnout, so usually we do a back-to-back weekends. If we have a little bit left over, we throw it when you bring the new dumpsters in, because we'll just swap them out. But it's hard to gauge because we've never done it in the summer, but I would say that you probably have a minimum of 2 weeks if you're not doing any other collections.
Would you recommend having a curbside?
I would probably say after the community garage sale, because I know that that's been requested before, to have one of the collections during that time. That would probably be recommended to keep that one.
As a curbside one?
As a curbside one, or do a drop off that same following weekend.
And then we have a schedule to where it was the last Saturday of the month of each quarter.
Yeah.
That what we've been doing this last several years to keep it on the.
But that was only if it was available through ARS, and they kind of keep that for us, but.
Yeah.
Some other community secures that.
But we have a roll off at that time period.
It must be anytime, yeah.
When you do it at the same time, I mean, people, if they're used to it, why not just roll it off and do that?
I think we can manage it anyway, then you decide to do it. If we would decide to roll off, we probably wouldn't do it back to back weekend. Just because our folks would want.
Yeah.
Some kind of, you know.
Sure.
But I think if we would want to try to roll off this year, to do it, you know, on the weekends that we have established, and just explain to the residents that the reasons you stated, cost you, we're doing it as a service, it'll be available on the weekend on that Saturday. And then see what kind of turnout we have.
So before we reduce the number of collections, we're just going to reduce the type of collection we have.
Same roll offs.
But then maybe keep at least one of them curbside. Just.
I don't know, that's, I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
I don't know, but.
Do all, just do the roll offs.
Set all the same, or else that might be.
Yeah.
Confusing. People have to be like, oh, I set mine out at the curb, and it was, and I got all this trash. I don't know.
Clearly, you've never sat there fast, but four-year-old fascinated in your couch being chewed up by the packer. It's pretty great.
Yeah, so we got March, June, September, and then it was January dates that we did. So it just basically, I mean, what we're talking about is making it March, June, and September, just the last Saturday of the month. Based off your recommendation, Steve, just that one Saturday then, and then would you recommend still the two Saturdays in January because of all the holiday stuff and people in the town and all that, or would you recommend that one week too?
I would say that just because people are used to it.
Do it the two weekends for that one.
Never know what kind of weather you get.
Right.
In January.
And that was part of the reason why we quit doing the curbside pickup. What started it, besides the cost, was we were paying all that money and there was hardly anything out.
Right.
Because of the winter months, so. I think that would be a good idea to do the 2 weeks of January and then the March, June, September date. It's the last Saturday of month.
And possibly what we could do is extend it to a Friday and Saturday. And that way, you give them 2 days.
Gotcha. And then your staff isn't having to work.
Right.
That's a good idea too. Because we don't pay anything extra. I mean, the roll-ups are based on how they're built, like you're saying, right. So. And that's one way of looking at cutting some costs, and then stop taking something away from the general fund, reducing it.
I think that makes sense, especially cost-wise. I do advocate, not everybody's got transportation, not everybody's got the
You said it earlier.
So, George, what kind of an increase would we have to do if, well, without, not considering the drop offs or whatever, but normal trash weekly collection?
This, so all this discussion we have is stuff the general fund is paying for that's not covered under the rates. So I've kept that consistent. So it just means if you cut these extra curbside pickups, the general fund is not decreasing as much. And again, that assumes the 5.5. The 5.5
5% is to cover the general recycling and refuse curbside pickup. That's what the 5.5. Was that where you're going with it? Or did I miss something?
Not exactly too sure.
Got lost in the discussion.
If council proceeds with eliminating curbside pickup, okay, if you decide,
unlimited.
That will have no bearing on the rates you normally charge. Because this extra stuff we're talking about was something years ago council said the general fund is going to fund outside of the rates.
And I think it should be noted that the rate and fee schedule can be amended at any future time if you choose to add a fee for future.
So we're not talking about changing the rates, but you know, we're looking at reduction in the cost of the general fund.
Yeah, so that just reduced the general fund by a substantial amount of money just making this one change.
Jordan, how much more on a bill would it be? This, and I hope you don't get numbers in front of you, but if we do the roll offs instead, we're probably talking 25,000 or 30,000 less. But let's say we charge the trash fee for the 25 to 30,000, so those coming out of the general fund. How much more of the 1503 per month for each house would you probably think?
Yeah, so
if your best guess, so probably closer. Your best guess. It's 1503 if we charged our residents for the roll-offs that we're going to do. What would that, you think, would increase that fee to?
How many residents do we have?
So 25,000. Let's say 1,500,000.
How many households do your house? How many trash?
4,000 accounts do we have?
Not people.
You're going to see them closing.
Households.
About 17.
Seven trash households. 1720.
1720. You're talking 900 bucks.
Probably, well, 520. That work out?
I did $2,000 for.
It's $2,000. That's got to be less than a buck.
No.
Yeah, 58 cents.
If we are going to have roll off collections, 2 in January, and then 3 more through the year.
It's going to
do so that's 5 times $2,000 per collection, right? Is what you said.
Well, that's not for the 2 weeks. That's all one combined.
That's only like 4 of them.
It's really 4, not 5.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah. So the 5, it is 5 that they come again, and yeah, they bill you that as well. The 2 weeks.
Times 2. Divided by the number of households, 1720, 60 something, divided by 12 months in a year, we're at $5.20.
Okay.
That's an extra monthly charge. So 60 some bucks a year.
Yeah, but you divided that by 12 months?
Mm-hmm.
You get $5. No, that's right. Wrong. It's like 48 cents.
Yeah.
40,
yes. By 12, yes. Okay.
So,
oh, because that was the total. That's the total. And then you have to divide it
again. Yeah. So it would be like 50 cents, let's say.
So you could eliminate all of it and not take any general fund money if we add 50 cents for that to the monthly fee. Right. Would that be?
Did that eliminate curbside pickup? You basically neutralize the effect of rates and expenses on the current car.
We break even.
45.
Right. From here on out, we break even. You still have a deficit from previous years, but from there forward, correct.
And that money would be coming out of the general fund.
Correct. You stabilize the net effect on the general fund.
Oh, very good.
Everything you've been talking about takes that big action. That's what happens.
So instead of a 70 cent increase would be what, $1.20?
Yeah.
$1.20.
And that would take the general fund.
Taking a lot up because we're also reducing it by
exactly
30, 40.
Well, but we gotta make cuts somewhere. I like totally doing away with it.
You, all you do is cutting it in half and then charging what it costs us.
And that's what we did, and that's what took us.
And it's the same with water.
The water, we got in so much trouble from way back when, like he was saying, by not doing that. And they didn't.
Agree to do that, and that impact on the, average person's bill would be less than $2 a month.
Less than $1.30.
Well, I'm talking about the combination of people.
Yeah.
On the whole entire.
All of the thing.
Water, sewer, trash, the whole bill.
$2.
It would go up less than $2 a month. I can live with that.
I for one would make that, or we're not doing recommendations, are we?
Yeah, we recommend.
Oh, we are doing recommendations.
We can get the actual data next week when it's.
So should we recommend the council or recommend to Jordan to finalize short that number for us for when he comes to us with the big picture?
Well, we'd have to put that then in the rate and fee schedule. So we will have to have them, but the actual amount could be put in next week, right?
Yeah, so. Make the recommendation to council, everything you've just discussed, the no need to increase the sewer, increase the water by 1%, increase the sanitation fee to reflect the operating, the 5.5, plus whatever the net effect cost of eliminating.
General fund.
Yeah, neutralizing the effect, which will be about $1.30 total on sanitation. That's whatever you just said to make that recommendation. But at least my point is it needs to be a formal recommendation. It's like, legislation can be authorized.
I'm going to say so moved as discussed and let Nikki figure out. It was.
I don't know.
Second thing.
The notes.
But.
Water by 1%, a 5.5% operating expense, and then to eliminate the general fund paying for the unlimited trash pickups and changing the curbside pickups to drop offs to cover Friday, Saturday, and then the two Saturdays in January.
What
is that all of it?
Mostly, but what we'll recommend, so because the analysis, those increases, they go into the rate and fee schedule.
Gotcha.
So which we still need to review the other thing. So when we authorize, you know, when we recommend the rate and fee schedule, then we'll include those suggestions, right? You can still run it down.
You forget here in about 20 minutes.
So committee members, Mr. Chair, rate and fee schedule, everything in red, if you print it off in color or has a strike through, those are new things. I am pleased to say our Lucas County's fees have not changed. So been some good news there. You can go line by line if you like, or you can target the items staff has recommended.
Okay, let's go this way. Any changes on phase one?
Your name. Yeah. I said, I'm very good name.
Yeah, that brings back good memory.
Page 6, page 8. There's a charge for this is under additional miscellaneous charges.
On page 1?
Yes. Bob
was going to go.
Oh, we can find our page. Where's that?
Building administrative savings.
Thank you. Page 3. There's lots of these before.
We had made some changes in some of these last year, so.
Page 4.
Zoning.
then. Other rates, you made some changes to everything, reflects.
It's fine.
Page six.
Question on page five, I'm sorry.
What's that?
I just have a quick question on page five for Jordan. The minimum charge is $1,732. Is that what we're charged from Intala per household? Or is that just something that we, I know we had the discussion before on this, that there's a senior citizen on fixed income that don't use $1,732 with water. Will we get to do that inside the village? Because I know we did it outside, because it's on the next page. That, I guess, is something that we came up with here.
Right, this is the structure we've had for several years. We charge a minimum charge. This rate is what has been proposed to be part of this.
And it covers the cost of our department.
Yeah, so, yeah, now the first part was, is this Tala? No. So Tala is the provider. They ship, process, clean it, ship it to us. Then our meter becomes our distribution. It is our responsibility.
So it's our minimum expense that we
have costs all associated with that, that is over and above Tala.
And that's what these numbers. Outside. Well, increase there. Four times, during the water back on, from 47 now.
I have a question about the water shut off. $20 for the first time, but it looks like you're not going to charge for additional shut off.
But they did raise the price to turn it back on.
But that's after 4 o'clock. It doesn't show an additional cost to turn it back on during the day.
Do we have many repeat vendors?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, but this is something that really was not being implemented. So rather than to keep carrying it on the books, we had an internal discussion about just removing it. We still charge the $20 for the shut off.
Every time?
Every time that someone goes through the shut off process, yes.
So it's just a view every time?
Yeah.
But the turn back on, okay, correct.
That's all inclusive.
And the $20?
Is that what we're going to?
Yes.
Yes.
And that amount covers your time and effort for someone to go out and do that?
Is it the flip of a switch now?
No. Oh, no, it's an actual person doing it. And then, you know, they usually do it within, throughout the course of the day, 15 minutes. So it covers that. It's three times they're already doing working. It's not any inconvenience other than.
And if they're already hurting enough to not be able to pay the bill.
Right.
I think that I agree $20 seems to be a sufficient amount to cover the cost.
Certainly be land more.
Any other questions on page six? Page seven.
So here is where the refuse charge would be different, right? So that 1503 that's in the rate fee schedule now, that would have an additional charge for whatever the cost works out to be to spread out the roll on.
The shelter house rental for non-residents. I see there's $100 deposit, but it doesn't say what the fee is for you. Do we agree on $100 fee for the rental of it as well? And I don't see that listed here.
When did we talk about that?
That was that that was during the summer.
Yeah.
And the clear folder on my computer got deleted accidentally. It was on there.
It was on the rate schedule.
Yes, it is on the current rate schedule. I just see when I fixed The other ones I must have accidentally deleted that. I apologize.
So which letter is, let's see. So it's still our residents do the $100 deposit, but they get it back after the inspection is complete. Non-residents, $100 deposit. Wasn't it at $100 to use it?
Was it $200 deposit? They got $100 back?
That's what I thought.
So it should have been like a $200 deposit.
No, the deposit was it? It needs to be.
Yes, $400 deposit.
They're two different things.
Oh.
The first $100 is for the deposit, the second $100 is for the rental apartment.
Right, so.
So it should be clear.
Okay, yeah. So it's $200 total, but they get.
Total.
But they get $100 back after they return the key and inspection is made.
Right.
Yes. For non-residents.
Hey, any other questions?
And then the special event fees going up to the $50.
Where are you at?
Oh, and yep.
Especially.
See it. Yeah, under speed vehicle inspections.
Golf carts.
Oh.
It's the same thing.
I think we should add the word golf cart.
Well, it's got to match up.
Well, I guess it could be anything else too, though, huh?
If I see one more question, are those allowed on the streets?
Oh, yeah.
Under 35 miles per hour roads, aren't they?
Yes. They have to be lit-plated, but also.
Lights.
Especially lighter signals, license plate, insurance, windshield, headlights. I mean, we do quite a few.
We do it from outside, correct?
Yeah.
Should we charge more of a fee for people to come from outside?
That's what we did, the non-residents to $50, non-resident.
We were getting a lot of people from those. I'm talking.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. Because we were the cheapest.
And the $50 made us more. But it was for more.
So this is the new fee and did we not have a fee before?
We've always had a $25 fee.
Oh.
Not outside residents.
It's changed to add the non-residents to it.
Yeah.
Any other questions on the poll text?
Public records request increase. $1. For the make a DVP or CD.
Thank you. And I want to approve if there's recommendations of council.
You making that? Did you make that motion?
Sure.
I'll second.
Do we have to add to it with our corrections? Or not? No. Do we have to add anything about the correct, about the changes?
Let the changes in.
Okay, thank you. I didn't hear.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
You're learning this for a few minutes.
That's all I have. Thank you. Thanks, everybody. Good work.
This point, aspect of the range. Window comments? Whatever.
Sure.
That's a very younger.
It's 150 Queensmore. I had a couple comments about the changes that you proposed tonight regarding the changes to unlimited pickup. One thing that you probably want to consider is that currently a lot of the metal that gets dropped off
or put the curb from one to pick up. It's picked up by the company, different scrap companies. And so all that tonnage is going to go into your roll-offs unless you reach out to some scrap companies and let them take it.
We already sorted it.
Huh?
Steve already said that we already sorted it.
So we've got somebody who's taking that away, so it's not any.
We, the village takes it away and they get to pay the scrap.
Perfect. I just wanted to make sure it wasn't any, increasing. I mean, I think it's going to increase a lot. Because right now it's going, there's scrap, which we're saying that because now it comes up. What goes to the curbs. Another topic is there was some concern mentioned about the idea that some people may not have vehicles capable of carrying things to the public works building because public works are going to drop off their unlimited pickup items. It's two possible options that we might want to consider. One would be reach out to an organization locally that would maybe do it as a fundraiser, like Boy Scouts. So they want to go offer the opportunity for a small donation to go carry things for people who can't do it. Or the village themselves could possibly offer it as a fee for service that can add a role make them really possible or picked up by the garbage company. Assuming that's not a violation of our contract, which we will get to them.
They can offer this call ARS.
Well, that's what I'm saying is ARS will charge them a fee to go get it. And we establish that.
It's my thumb.
I'm sure the scrap pushers still do it.
Well, I mean, I'm just trying to come up with ideas that might make it so that we'll have less things sitting on the curb that people decide just to dump on the curb anyway. Because that's the whole idea of this is to avoid having the residents with a jump at the town with their access refuse to be pregnant. Some people who have no other way of moving just put on the curb.
So we help people shovel snow. So I guess we can help people,
still some bucks.
Come up with me, Boy Scouts that have shovel. It's my own thing.
So again, boss, we'll be able to bring up the topic we talked about before. Council meeting?
Yeah, we'd like, I think it would be good with Mr. Dam's victory and mayor congratulations. That would require an appointment in January by the city council members. I think it would be very beneficial if we could submit a request for letters of interest now. To start compiling that potential list for current council members and future council members to be able to evaluate so that we can achieve an appointment by January 16th, which is the last day of council to meet in January. We have a 30-day requirement to get that. So just, boot the phone.
Well, something we had discussed, we need to say all that, but I agree with you totally. I think we should start getting resumes for that. That way, because you, the guys, are going to have to work with the new person. So that decision you have to fall with you.
Agree.
After January. So, yeah, after 30 days. And you could have a special meeting. You don't have to really, I mean, if there's an issue with the 16th, you still have time to have a special meeting.
I think we're trying to avoid.
Yeah, and you should. Yeah. But absolutely, you got to get going on. Absolutely. So that way you guys can see the resumes and start January 1 with who you want and start the process for this.
I think there had been a tentative date of December 15th for people to, that'd be the deadline for people to turn in letters of interest for them to new people sworn in 1st of January. Well, there were 2 weeks to let those over prior.
And I do think that this body set a really good precedent with that process. Having it be open, having it be applications. We had good interest, we had good candidate, we had a good process. And I really hope that continues. That was a good, really good transparent thing with that. Right. And yeah, so that was a good thing. And yes, we would be able to start that for the incoming body and share those applications.
Excellent.
Well, they are public record as well, aren't they, when they submit them? So I much imagine the three of you are already included in the emails that the rest of us receive.
They will be now, so that's all that.
Right, so they would be able to review applicants as well before they're sworn in, to be able to, especially if it's a large turnout like before. To have that narrowed down by the time they start, they can hit the road running with it.
Yeah, hopefully, we're supposed to be in for your recommendations. The first meeting is fortunately in January 2nd. Correct. So you're not for the bank. About you, then, huh? And. And I would mention is that there's a lot of conversation going around town about the potential shutting down of the Fargo facility. Which you know that the administration has to make an eye and economic development people are working to try and to put together some sort of a package to maybe discourage, you know, serving in town. Because of the way their notice was worded, we think there might be a window of opportunity to keep them in path. And so we are working with multiple county organizations to try and put together a package to make available to them.
Excellent.
Mr. Mayor.
Some people thought we would just not do anything about it or anything like that. You know, that's not the case. The problem is, Jordan reached out over a week ago to their corporate headquarters and certainly still had no response from them.
Multiple requests. And so we're sending a letter basically asking them to meet with us, even if we got to go to Colorado, their headquarters. So we're trying everything that we can with our economic development people to try to. Not only get it to stay here, but maybe to expand here, but I'll be happy one out of two. So expansion would be great.
The other thing that we're doing is to find a list of places in the area that might be in a hiring mode. And I'm trying to put together a list of nothing else, maybe we can help. If we're not successful in keeping the facility here, maybe we can help relocate the workers. You want to not give my plan for them. But it's also, I don't think so.
Wendy would be instrumental in that if it comes to that. So we'll be talking with you shortly.
Well, you were talking about that window too. And the other thing that makes me think of that as a possibility is that, so I was talking to Ken Robinson, works there.
Yep.
And I was talking to Jason Draven, they're related. And there's one, possibly two plants. And I'm wondering if we are the possible second one. So maybe there's that window to keep them here, another plant that's closing that's going there.
Well, we had a discussion with the union rep over there. Mm-hmm. He called me Sunday morning. I think we talked to him.
Okay.
The union rep over there for,
I had
maybe Jordan interview. So he reached out to me. So I've been in contact with the union representative. So they are willing to negotiate as well. So.
Yeah.
Hopefully that'll be part of that package that we can put together, but.
Right. And this is really great conversation, but
yeah.
Maybe.
Right.
But we're trying. So please don't think that we're not. So I don't know, Karen, we made a statement in the news. And I know the news has contacted the mayor today. So we are trying. I can assure you. So if anybody asks you, we can see ours.
Mr. Mayor, on another note, it might be possible that we might have a recommendation to council after the executive session on personnel issues. Depends on what we come to a discussion of.
Yeah.
That would. probably.
It's a possibility that we might have a recommendation, like we still think we can just hand to the councilman.
Right. And go around.
You start.
Okay, congratulations to the three council elects. If I could offer two little bits of advice. One, schedule your sunshine training ASAP. It's great, get it out of the way and sure, that's a big piece if you're required to do it. So the online is mind-numbingly boring, but it's a good way to knock it out. But if you can get an in-person chance, it's really neat. And the other is take really good notes.
Yeah.
Take really good notes, but congratulations, and I'm really looking forward to how you tackle these decisions. And I hope that everybody here has given a really good example of collegiality and disagreeing without being disagreeable. Looking forward to your swearing in January.
Great.
Look forward to working with all of you. I think this is the first time in the history of White House where we have foreign council people when we start in January. Got a lot of work to do. Forward to making positive things happen, and hopefully we'll be able to do that together. And I'll be reaching out probably to all of you to find out about committee assignments, what you're interested in here shortly. So soon as Jordan tells me which ones are up and which ones we need to do, and he and I will be meeting about that as well. So please speak that, so Dave, Harry, and Larry, what you're interested in. I talked to Steve already, so that will be forthcoming, but I look forward to working with all of you starting again.
Okay. Just going to echo Rebecca Van Rich's sentiments about congratulations. It's exciting to have all new faces starting at the beginning of the year. I'm looking forward to working with you.
Then here we go.
Yep, I'll go to what the rest of them said. Good luck in your journey for your next 4-year term. And hopefully you're able to attend the next, the rest of the council meetings this year. So if you have any input on any of the financial information that's going to be doing in the budget process, it'd be something good for you to get into, since you're going to be doing that a lot over the next 4 years. Well, yeah.
And then it's not just the great group of public here. It's nice to have new faces on board, but these guys are comfortable. And I didn't know a lot of the things in January that I don't know. You know, this the passion and the dedication of the community is staggering. So it's great to see.
Yeah, repeat my it was a final line you say all the time, hats off their past and coats off their future. And time you go over.
With that, I move that we go into executive session to discuss personnel.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed.
Motion to reconvene.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
Here. Local council to recommend the council that we approve the administrative contract.
I'll second that motion.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Make a motion.
Make a motion to adjourn.
Councilman Curry, second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?